This is GQDN for Friday the 13th. Brought to you today by Audible. Go get your free credit at audibletrial.com/thegroupquest. Which, by the way, there's a sale right now, but it ends today for Audible. So if you get your free credit, audibletrial.com/thegroupquest, you get 2 for 1. Okay, so you get 1 credit, use that credit, and you get 2 books for 1. But that ends today, so hurry up, go get your free credit, get it done. By SwiftEnergy.gg. Go get those drink mixes, people. Really good stuff. Yummy, 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 yummy stuff. Indeed, yummy stuff. That's using the promo code QUEST in the checkout line. Good stuff. By Patreon.com/TheGroupQuest. Lots of good stuff up there, too. Go get it, go get it, go get it. And by stackup.org. In today's news, we have a bit of lounging around. We got some Power World news, and we got an interview with the Kingdom Hearts composer. But we will begin today with what happened yesterday via IGN.com. And what we know is that Microsoft Xbox laid off 650 people, of which some of them came from the World of Warcraft team. And now we're starting to get the fallout from that because the World of Warcraft Union called it, quote, heartless, end quote. So the CWA did issue a statement that came after the layoffs. Here's what they said, quote, Microsoft's decision to lay off 600 video game workers is an extremely disappointing move from one of the world's largest and most profitable corporations. This news comes just after Sony Interactive Entertainment subsidiary Bungie announced 220 layoffs late July. While none of those who are losing their jobs are represented by the CWA, we understand how devastating layoffs are to the workers and their families. While we would hope that a company like Microsoft with $88 billion in profits last year could achieve long-term success without destroying the livelihoods of 650 of our colleagues, heartless layoffs like these have become all too common. One of those people was Zumkins, and he said on Twitter, quote, after 9 years of working on World of Warcraft, I am terminated. I am doing as okay as I can and looking towards the future for other positions. I'm happy I got to see everyone play my content and work with others since Legion. I've accomplished all my goals, so time to make more. But there was also another statement from Samuel Cooper, who is a senior producer at World of Warcraft and is a member of the World of Warcraft Game Makers Guild, which was formed as part of the CWA because they were officially unionized. So here's what he said, quote, every worker deserves a voice on the job and say over the impact of the job cuts. While we would hope that a company like Microsoft with $88 billion in profits last year could achieve long-term success without destroying the livelihoods of 650 of our colleagues, heartless layoffs like these have become all too common. We stand in solidarity with everyone who lost their job today and encourage all video game workers to join with us and form unions so we can protect each other, end quote. Now, back in August, Phil Spencer said that they run a business. So he said, quote, back then, it's definitely true inside Microsoft, the bar is high for us in terms of the delivery we have to give back to the community because we get a level of support from the company that's just amazing and we're able to go do. So that did happen, and that was a response of what happened yesterday. Now we go on to purexbox.com, and they said that there's some handhelds that Xbox is thinking about making with some promotional images. Now, Tom Warren, a part of The Verge, what they're saying is got up on Twitter and said, quote, the Xbox platform images now include handhelds, a subtle change that shows how important this category of devices is to Xbox. Handhelds are now up there alongside the Xbox consoles, gaming PCs, phones, and laptops. And they were looking at the Asus ROG Ally and the Lenovo Legion Go. So what could happen with those? What could happen indeed? We'll keep our eyes on it. Now, Hardcore Gamer did say that there was an interview with the Kingdom Hearts composer, Yoko Shimura, and she got to explain how she made the songs. And they are the ones that did the interview. And they asked some things like, how did she find the project? And how did she make the character themes and Renatus? And how she made the battle themes, along with some other things to it. But for the character theme, she said that Takumi, which was the maker of Renatus, was to, quote, make it grand with the vocal chorus, end quote. And she said that the chorus was indeed the main thing. So she kept the ideas of, quote, suppression and liberation, end quote, in her thoughts. That's why the first part of the composition was very heavy. Then the middle of the composition was what she said was a beautiful thing, essentially. Very interesting interview. They go into a few other games too, like Mario or Super Mario RPGs, Street Fighter 2, all that stuff. Interesting stuff. Now we're going to get into the esports corner for a little bit, because Riot did ban a player named Setsuko because of discriminatory and other foul languages. And Kevin Setsuko Zhang, on September 12th, breached Article 9.2.5 in the American Esports Magic and Mayhem rulebook, and Article 3.21 and 3.8 from the Global Esports Code of Conduct. And there was indeed a statement via Riot Games, which I will not get into the whole thing, but it went into the full articles and rulings that showed why he was banned. And as to why, on the day two of the competition, Setsuko used some language while on his stream, and he was on his Twitter account, and Riot did investigate and discovered the tweet that was published on July 5th, 2024, this past year. And they were sharing some previous tweets from Riot, and because of the tweet, Riot Games did open a, quote, formal disciplinary proceeding, and they did go through the relevant rules and essentially all of that stuff. Now, as to what he said, that is not available, but that is all we can say about that for now. So we'll keep our eyes on it. Now let's get to some equipment. PC Games N did say that Intel's new CPU will run at a safer default power setting. Now, this was a leak, according to them, because there are some reports that the Intel Z890 motherboard will come with an Intel baseline power setting that will be enabled by default, and that will avoid recurrence of some instability issues that have been plagued the 14th generation CPU. Now, there's also a report by the Taiwanese hardware website benchlife.info, and they said that the motherboard manufacturer will ship that with the Intel baseline setting, and that'll be a default option. So we will see what happens with that. Now, PC Gamer did say that there's a little bit of a discussion about AI, and the NVIDIA CEO Jensen Huang was at the Goldman Sachs Communacopia and Technology Conference in San Francisco this past week. And he was talking about a lot of different topics, which did include the benefits of AI. I was asked about how to use these cases, what he was most excited about. So he said, quote, well, in our company, we use it for computer graphics. We can't do computer graphics anymore without artificial intelligence. We compute one pixel, we infer the other 32. I mean, it's incredible. And we also hallucinate, if you will, the other 32. And it looks temporarily stable. It looks photorealistic. And the image quality is incredible. The performance is incredible. Now, he was also talking about the AI interface on where the hardware-based AI was upscaling, just like the DLSS, so they could run sub-acceptable frame rates. For the quote, computing one pixel takes a lot of energy, a lot of computation, inferencing, the other 32 takes very little energy, and you can do it incredibly fast. So one of the takeaways, there is just about training and the model. It's about using the model, end quote. Interesting there. We will end the technology section with PC Gamer, because Acer did respond to the claims of the gaming laptop, and it was an intro to misogynistic, because their objective was to make technology available to everybody. PC Gamer, you need to work on your titles. So that was last week that Acer was talking alongside the Nitro Blaze 7, and that was alongside some other gaming laptops, and they were talking about the Nitro V14 gaming laptop, along with, quote, women and casual gamers, end quote, in gaming. So Valerie Pio did say, quote, within gamers and gaming, almost half are female. So women and casual gamers are on the rise. And so is the search for a gaming laptop that is not just powerful, but also beautiful. So women are on the rise for gaming, and they want laptops too. Okay. Now, let's get back to games, because IGN did say that Power World Devs is looking over the free-to-play live service, but they may be thinking about sticking with the pay-to-play. So Power World right now is in a conundrum, but it's looking like to the future, because they could take the game to free-to-play, or they could stick with the pay-to-play model. Now, Power World did launch on Steam with $30, and it went to Xbox Game Pass and PC early this year. Now, the Pocket Pair CEO, Takeru Mizobi, was talking to ASC2 Japan, and the entire interview was translated by automation. And Mizobi said that Pocket Pair needs to make a decision between the two business models. That's a quote from IGN. So here's what he said, quote, when you think about it from a business perspective, making Power World a live service game would extend its lifespan and make it more stable in terms of profitability. However, the game was not initially designed with that approach in mind. So there would be many challenges involved in taking it down with a live service path. Now, if they do that, the free-to-play game could have more monetization to it. For the quote, it's common for live service games to be free-to-play with paid elements such as skins and battle passes. But Power World is a buy-to-play game, so it's difficult to turn it into a live service game from the ground up. So will it be free-to-play, or will it be pay-to-play? We shall see. Talking about buying, Frostpunk 2 is still on pre-order, but according to PC Games N, it's on sale already. So if you're looking to pre-order Frostpunk 2, Fanatical has the deluxe edition at 30% off. It's not the only retailer to have that pre-order up at the lower price. Steam has a 10% discount to it as well. So Frostpunk 2 Deluxe Edition pre-order is at $52.49. So if you like Frostpunk, you can get that at just under $60. And that's the Deluxe Edition. Because if you get that, you'll get the 3 post-release DLCs when they become available, an exclusive in-game item, a digital art book, and the game soundtrack. And you get to play the game 72 hours early. But if you don't want the deluxe edition, there is a 20% discount on the regular game, which brings the price down to $36. So if you want Frostpunk 2, pre-order it. It's on sale. The pre-orders are on sale. But where would you play it? Esports Insider will end us today and for the week, because Florida International University has an Alienware Esports Lounge, and they showed a picture of it. It does look really good. So, it's got the chairs all lined up with the desks. You got a TV right there. It's all lined up with PCs. It's got a lot of different hardware, gaming chairs all right there too. And the artwork coming in, you got the Panther, that's right there, Florida International. And since it's part of Alienware, you got the Alien PC that's over the city. Looks really good. There is no show tomorrow, but if you want to check out the past shows, it's on the Group Quest podcast feed. It's on twitch.tv/DawnForge. This has been a DawnForge production. 2024, all rights are reserved. Enjoy your weekend. Go play some games, people. We'll see you Monday.